This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
The clock is counting down to the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. She wanted the trial quickly. She's going to get that trial quickly. Her defense team filing a lot of motions in the case, trying to take the death penalty off the table right now and exclude nearly 5,000 pages of evidence and 48 audio files from being introduced into the trial. You know, audio files like her and Chad talking mysteriously about the children being missing, all sorts of things that look rather damning, and I can see why you'd not want that to be introduced into court. The defense argues they simply will not and cannot review all this material prior to the jury trial selection in Boise on March 27th of 2023, because that's not far off. Well, you've had quite a bit of time to do so, quite honestly. The case has been shrouded in mystery since early 2020 when Vallow Daybell's two children, J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan, went missing. The Eastern Idaho mom, arrested later on, accused of killing her two children and conspiring to kill her husband's previous wife, Tammy Daybell. So much death surrounding these guys. As the trial approaches, Vallow Daybell's defense team is working hard to keep her off death row. That's one of the big things they're working at right now. I think they kind of know this is a pretty damning case. Let's just try not to get her killed. I don't know. Maybe that's, but at this point, you know. In the most recent motion they filed, they cited persistent media coverage and nonstop articles about the case, which continue to expose potential jurors to prejudice and bias against the defendant. They also argued that her mental illness should be taken into consideration, as the government wanting to kill a mentally ill person is a troubling thought. I take issue with that, because I'm sorry, this is someone who likely, allegedly, had her children killed or killed her children, had a part in it, buried them in the backyard of her fiance, and then went on a tropical vacation. That I find far more disturbing than the state saying, someone who does that should probably die. Oh, you have a mental illness? Yeah, we don't care. You still did that. I don't see how that gets you off the hook when you've done something this horrific. The defense also pointed to Idaho's inability to secure the necessary drugs to perform an execution, saying, even if the government is successful in convincing a jury to kill her, it will never happen. Trust me, there's ways of making this happen, including firing squad, which they are considering adding back to Idaho. Koberger actually faces that possibility as well, where if they can't get the drugs to kill you, they may just shoot you. And in the cases of people like this, if they are in fact guilty, is the world a better place without them? I'd love to hear your argument if you don't think it is. But the road to the trial has not been, of course, without its challenges. So the defense team has accused the government of multiple discovery violations in the case, saying that over 80,000 documents have been bait stamped, yet the government has admitted that it's just the bulk of it, not all of it. If there's a death sentence in this case, appellate lawyers and post-conviction lawyers will inevitably find additional discovery that's not been turned over, as the government has essentially admitted it hasn't turned everything over. Such discovery failures will cause any death verdict to be vacated, and the case will start over, the defense argued. I don't want to say the defense daydreamed, they argued it, but anything's possible. We've seen crazier things get dismissed before. And that's the thing. You gotta follow the letter. Cross all your T's, dot all your I's. Because in cases like this, the only way people like this do get off or have penalties reduced or just dismissed is usually on some sort of technicality. Not because of lack of evidence or guilt. It's usually some sort of a technicality. Furthermore, the defense team argued that the recent evidence posted by the government, which is 4,933 pages and 48 audio files containing over 30 hours of interviews, was shared too late for them to review it before trial. As a result, They've asked the court to exclude this evidence from being introduced into trial. We'll see if that happens. The court has also set rules now for the trial, so we know how this will play out. And from a perspective of someone who shares the trial with you every day, I love having audio. I love being able to listen and hear it word for word, but that's not what the judge wanted us all to be doing. So here's what the rules are. There's a public seating reservation system. You have to place a reservation to get into the courthouse to see it. The court also filed a 6-page document outlining expectations for courtroom behavior during the trial, which is expected to last 8 to 10 weeks, beginning April 3rd in Boise. Cameras are not allowed in the courtroom, and the trial will not be broadcast. Some seating will be reserved for counsel and family members of the defendant and victims. The public will also be allowed inside the courtroom through that reservation system through Ada County. Media will not be getting priority seating. Standing in the courtroom will not be allowed. There will be two areas offered for overflow seating of the public portions of the trial, one in the Ada County Courthouse and the other at the Madison County Courthouse. You still need reservations. Can you, like, palm somebody a 20 to get a good seat? Like, here you go. Like a restaurant. So that's what's coming up. April 3rd, we, of course, will cover it for you here on the podcasts. Even though we can't get audio from in the courtroom, we'll, of course, report on it for you every single day as we learn more and more about what on earth the defense will be for Lori Daybell.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
I, for one, am very interested in this, and I'm very interested to see whatever comes out in this case, how it then plays into Chad Daybell's case as well, which is set for later in the year. One of the most twisted stories I've ever heard. If you want to learn more about the Daybell case, we have a specific channel just for that. You can find the link in the description of this episode, or maybe you're already there. If not, check that out and press subscribe for all the continuing coverage on that case exclusively. Of course, we'll have it here for you as well. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. Stay with us.